back in 1965, still another mother cried as her son was sent off to a land called Charlie's Paradise. Billy was a soldier in the bush, he played for keeps. The enemy was all around, didn't Charlie ever sleep? Ordered up the hill one day to take it and make a stand. Billy never made it back, he was dealt with Charlie's hand. Maybe he's a lucky one, cause we still feel the pain of a thousand wounded players who took part in Charlie's game. He's one of a million unsung heroes whose story forever goes untold. He left his soul in numb, but his spirit still lives on. He's walking with us on the last patrol. He's walking with us on the last patrol.
The Last Patrol Radio Show is a program dedicated to my brothers and sisters who have and to those who are now serving America in the U.S. military, the police and security, firefighters and EMS. This is a Veterans to Veterans ministry. By God's grace, we're here to serve and to help bring the truth to you through the Word and the life of Jesus Christ. I'm Pastor Ted Marshall. I served as a dog man, that is a canine handler, in the U.S. Air Force Security Police in the Vietnam War. I know that the bond we as veterans have is very special, and we can talk to each other. This program is for you and your family. Let us ask for guidance from our Lord to inspire and to hear from Him on how much He loves you. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. The Last Patrol Radio Program is a Talk to Vets ministry, hosting guests from the Christian veterans community and the caring and loving people who bring information, loving gratitude for all of you who are our nation's finest treasure. Here in the home of the brave, you are the brave in that home. You and I have a lot to share on subjects we can learn from. Using the Perfect Operations Planning Manual, the POPM, also known as the Bible. Heart to heart, vet to vet, patriot to patriot, welcome home. The Last Patrol is about realizing that we have a mission that we're being called to. Each of us has a special place in this patrol. We have and are now continuing specialized training for this task and mission. This is a highly motivated and extremely skilled operations team with overpowering strength, courage, and leadership support. The air power as well, the universe knows none is awesome. The ground troops are all in the army of the Lord. We are God's warriors. Who can stand against us? Trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding in all your ways. Acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight. Proverbs 3:5-6. Walk with us on the Last Patrol. Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall. Welcome to the Last Patrol Radio Show. Today we got a very special show for you today. It's going to be kind of a split show. We're going to have part of the interview that I did with Omega Radio Network's Pastor Vincent Xavier, and that would be just a little bit later in our show. Also, we'll be playing some music again from our Stars and Stripes section, which is featuring veterans that are incredibly talented musicians and their music. Today, I wanted to start this out. We're going to be playing a song that really, I think Huey Lewis in the News started the song first, and then Brett Small took it and covered the song extremely well. And this is, on a personal note, this is kind of the way a lot of us felt after we came back from war. This is the way that a lot of us were treated. It was a shame. It really was. I'm not crying over spilt milk, but I just want to make sure, and every Vietnam vet wants to make sure, that this never happens again. We need respect as a word that is earned. It's not just given. And for those that are out there that just because of one thing or another, they think they demand respect. No, sir. No, ma'am. You have to earn it. And once you earn respect, that should not be ever diminished, lied about, cheated about, or ignored. And it should be honored.
Sometimes in my bed at
Walking on a Thin Line. That song was written a while back and performed by, like I said, Huey Lewis in the News, and then Brett Small covered it and did a great job. And it means so much, not just to our generation of Vietnam veterans, but to all generations of veterans. You see, walking the thin line, angry all the time, take a look at my face, see what it's doing to me. That was verse that rang so true to me personally. I came back, and like many of us did, we were angry. We were angry by the way we were treated. We were angry by the way that the country seemed to turn against us, that even our own friends that we used to have gave us that look with a jaunted eye. Something was wrong with us. Nothing was wrong with us. Could not be taken care of if it would have been done the right way. PTSD is a situation that many veterans have. It goes way back to when they first started taking a look at something maybe a little bit wrong. Back in World War I, I think they called it shell shock. World War II, they used the same label. I believe they used the same label in Korea. In Vietnam, they didn't use that word, a shell shock, because it was something that was used a long time ago, and they really had no words for it. It was just the crazy Vietnam veterans. It was something was wrong with these guys. They were angry, and they did wild things, which was true. Some of us did, but the majority of the folks didn't. The majority of the folks kept a lot of things bottled up inside for many, many years and still do. Some turned and just tried to live their life the best they could. A lot of us screwed up in many different ways. We tried, and there was something missing. There was an inner peace that was missing. I'm not going to bore you with my story today, but I just want to say this, that down the road, it took me quite a while to finally realize that I needed help. Not physically. Physically, I was getting the help. I'm a disabled veteran, combat-related disabled veteran, but I was getting the help physically, but there was something missing. Couldn't talk to any other of the guys. We were all scattered around the country. See, it wasn't like World War II or Korea where they went together in groups where all the from the local towns and from the local armories and so forth, and everybody knew each other. When they came back, they all stayed in contact and kind of moved with around each other and started communities where they were all part of. Our war was not like that. For some reason, they scattered everybody around and shipped us over there. And then when we came back, there were no parades. There was no groups landing together. It was just individuals coming home at different times and different airplanes. And we were supposed to filter in and become part of society. We tried. Some eventually got in, were able to make good lives and do what they were supposed to do, but always on the inside is an empty space. There's an empty space, and we long for the camaraderie of being able to speak with other vets. And it's not talking war stories, just being around somebody that understands you, somebody that speaks the same language, and somebody that knows when you're down that probably what you're thinking about. That's hard to find. I was blessed. I was able to have a good friend that I still have now. And that brother is a strong warrior for Christ. Just a wonderful, wonderful brother. We will always, always have that bond. We were best friends over there during wartime and best friends during peacetime, even though it wasn't sometimes so peaceful. There's a lot of folks that are suffering from PTSD here in America now from our recent engagements and multiple deployments of our troops. America, you've got to take a good long look at facts, and this is just my opinion. I know it's a volunteer service. Don't run these guys to the ground like you've been doing it. Maybe it's a time that we should take a look at bringing the draft back. Wow, that's controversial, isn't it? Well, you know, a little country like Israel, both women and men serve in the military mandatory. Countries like South Korea, it's mandatory that their men serve in the military. There's a lot of folks I know that would say, "Oh, no, you can't do that. That's not good. We can't have the draft, blah, blah, blah. We need our freedom." And who's paying for that freedom? It's the same men over and over, and same troops, men and women, over and over and over again. They're being redeployed, that keep paying that price. You're wearing them out. You're wearing their equipment out. You're stressing them to the level of that you cannot believe. There's more veterans committing suicide every day ever there was in the past. We've got to do something. One of the things that we can do, I truly believe, is to reach out to them as other veterans. Get them under your wing. Talk to them. And for those of you that are Christians, the best thing that you can do for any veteran that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ is to talk about him. Introduce them. Plant some seeds. Find other veterans that are believers and let them talk to them. Find other good, strong warrior men. Good, strong Christian soldiers, and lead them there so they can listen and talk and be able to be amongst their own, that they'll feel comfortable enough to let the guard down a little bit and listen. For those of you that are veterans that are listening out there, two calls that I would like to give you. First of all, for those Christian veterans, you have a responsibility that I want you to look at straight on. You need to bring more brothers and sisters of the military to Christ. And for those new veterans that have come home that are strong Christians, and I know you're out there because I see it on the internet, I see these wonderful prayer huddles that you have, and I see the singing that some of them are doing about our awesome God. Reach out to more. Reach out to more. We need to heal the soldiers that we have and to heal the veterans that we have. And the best and only way that truly works is the healing grace of Jesus Christ.
Back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries right here in the northwest region of Arkansas. And I have on the line with me today Pastor Ted Marshall from the Tampa, Florida area. Good morning, Pastor Ted. How are you today?
Good morning, Pastor Vincent. It's a wonderful day here in paradise in Florida. And it's just a real honor to be on the radio with you again, my friend.
Well, it's an honor to have you with us, Pastor Ted. What's been going on in the last couple of months of your life? I know that you have a daily show right here on the Omega Radio Network, which we're so happy to carry. And you've been through it, man. You're going through all kinds of wonderful stuff. And I had written about our time together that your life, I love this, and I felt like the Lord said it, that your life has just been a journey of woven fabric that has created a masterpiece of God's great love for all mankind. You've been in pretty sticky situations in your life, and you've come out born again with the most beautiful spirit. You're like a big teddy bear. And what's going on in your life nowadays?
We've got some exciting things that we're planning for the ministry, and we've just, our connections, we're reaching out to some more veterans groups and some more veterans folks. I've got a good friend of mine that started a ministry over in Melbourne, Florida, and it's called Vet Church. And for the first time, they're actually having church services at a VFW. And this is going to spread to other veterans of foreign war ministries. But it's exciting, some of the stuff that's happening. I was asked to go over there for the first Veterans Christian concert. And Pastor Kenneth Torres and his wife, Zuma, are just incredible singers and talented. And, of course, Pastor, he's also a veteran. He was what they call an Air Force PJ, which is a parajumper, pararescue. These are the guys that, when the Navy SEALs get trapped behind enemy lines, these are the guys that go and get them. So it gives you an idea of how elite that force is. But he smartened up. He was he first went in the Army and airborne. He smartened up and transferred over to the Air Force. So he's a good guy. I tease him a lot. But we've had a wonderful last 3 days, and it's been a real blessing. My father, who's a World War II veteran, was a UDT Navy frogman in World War II, and he is in his 90th year, and he came up to visit us. He lives down in the Fort Myers area, down in the Mockley area, and he's still a fishing guide. He does bow fishing on top of airboats and drives airboats, and he's just a great. We took some pictures and we sent them out on Facebook. A lot of folks, we look a lot alike. Of course, he claims to be handsomer, and I'm not going to argue with him. But he's a lot of fun, and it's just a real blessing. And we took him over to the Veterans Park here in the Hillsborough County area, which is south of us. And we showed him the new World War II memorial that's being built there. And he got a chance to see the Vietnam Memorial, where they have a statue of a canine dog. And that canine dog happens to have a serial number in its ear, which all our dogs do. And the wonderful people in Hillsborough County decided that the serial number would be the number of my dog that served in Vietnam, Sandy. So we just had a wonderful, wonderful time together. And I've been debating, and this is something maybe the folks out there can maybe give an ear and listen to. I've been wondering how I could get my ministry support. I'm a disabled veteran, so it's hard for me to. I really can't work full time, or I have to stand or anything like that. But I decided I'm going to try to raise some money for my ministry. So, because we've been asked to provide chaplains for the moving Vietnam Wall that travels throughout the country. And myself, Kenneth Torres, and myself were personally asked by the people that own the Vietnam Moving Wall to be their chaplains and to be able to not only go out and be available at the wall when people come to see it, the moving wall, but also to do church services on the Sundays, because normally they have the wall there for 4 or 5 days, and usually the wall pulls out on Monday morning. So Sunday evening or Sunday afternoon would be a wonderful time to have church services there at the wall. So we are trying to come up with some resources to be able to do that, and I decided about 2 years ago, Vincent, I was going to do what they call the Navy Swim, which is here in Tampa Bay, it's called the Frogman Swim. And it's a 5K swim through Tampa Bay, and it's equivalent to what the Navy SEALs have to do for their swim. So I started training for it. Unfortunately, the day of the swim, we got stormed out. It was white caps and bad storms, and I was kind of disappointed because I really trained hard to do that. And so I was swimming. I still swim. I still try to keep up my swimming. And about a week ago, I'm swimming. I said, how can I do this? How can I raise some money for this ministry? And when I'm swimming, Vincent, I swim about a mile and a half to 2 miles, and now I'm up to swimming 2.5 miles on my swims, nonstop, freestyle, and that's not doing any backstrokes. You're not doing your breaststroke. That's freestyle. Straight on. Keep going. And I don't stop. But that's my quiet time with the Lord. In the water, I concentrate on Him, and I asked Him. I said, Lord, how can I do this? And He simply said, swim for it. So I started thinking, they have these 5Ks. These people run these 5Ks, and I'm going to do a 5K swim, 3.2 miles, nonstop, and do that to raise money for the ministry. And I've talked to other pastors in the area, and I've talked to, and they like the idea. I'm going to start it myself. I'll do the first year. We're going to live stream it on Facebook, the whole swim, so people can see I'm actually doing what I say I can do. And it was It was just really kind of, this is going to snowball. I know it is, because I'll have, maybe next year I'll have a Green Beret friend of mine join me in the swim. I'll have some other veterans that will do the swim, but I was able to, last Friday, I attempted it, and I was able to do the 5K swim. And I'm building up to it so I can do it. And it was fun. My dad came down here, and being an old frog man, you know, we went out to the pool, and I started doing the swim, and he stood watch for me, and because there were some storm clouds moving in. And I got about a mile into the swim, and he said, get out of the water, there's lightning. He says, come on, let's go get in under. So even to this day, that old frogman watches out for me, and he's the one that actually taught me how to swim when I was about 2 years old. And that's a very embarrassing
wow.
story, how I learned how to swim. but he doesn't mind telling anybody it, you know, just to embarrass me. But down here in Florida.
He threw you in the water.
Pardon? Yes, he did.
He threw you in the water.
And the reason was I was about 2 years old, and I had training pants on, and he just asked me if I had to go to the bathroom. I said no, and we were out in a place called Trapper Nelson's, which is out here in Florida. And it used to be a tourist attraction where they had alligators and all kinds of stuff there, you know, and the zoo and a jungle walk and waters all around there. Well, he picked me up and he threw me in the water, and please don't get him in trouble. But he didn't know, but there was an alligator in the canal, and he saw the alligator as soon as he let go of me. And I hit the water. I saw the alligator in the water. Him and his friend Jim Hilliard, who was another Navy friend of his, both dove in at the same time to get me out, but I was already halfway back up on the shore. I learned two things that day. I learned how to swim real fast, and I learned never to poop in my pants again. And of course, when we went down to the museum yesterday, the curator of the museum, a good friend of mine, is one that helped put up the dog monument for the Canine Corps, comes up and starts talking to my dad, and he does not look 90 years old. He looks great. I mean, he really is in great shape. And my dad, of course, I was telling him about what I wanted to do about raising money for the ministry. He said, well, we'll help you any way we can here at the museum. We'll do, you know, whatever we can do. We'll get the word out. And then he says, you know how you learn how to swim, don't you? And I said, no, Dad, no, no. So he tells him the whole story, you know, and I'm sitting there just shaking my head, you know. Yeah, that's how he learned. But we had a wonderful time.
Ted, let's talk about this. Now, you're raising money for your ministry, mm-hmm. and are you, I know you're talking about the Vietnam Wall, I know you're talking about, you know, church meetings on Sunday,
mm-hmm.
and does that carry over into your radio ministry? What exactly
oh, yeah.
are you wanting to promote?
That's what this is all about. This is all because one of the things that we're going to do with this, with going with the Vietnam Wall, is we're going to be able to do broadcast from the wall all around the country. Being able to talk to veterans that come up to the Vietnam Wall and are visiting the special events that they have there, and be able to do a radio show all over the country, not just sitting here in a studio, but out there amongst my veteran buddies and some that I've never met, and new vets, and I think it's just a wonderful opportunity. Not only that, but also to spread the word of God through the ministry, through the radio, and what the heck, when we know we're going to someplace, we can say, hey, any of the veterans in this area that are listening to the Last Patrol radio show, we are going to be there live. We want you to come and see us, and want to come meet you and talk to you, and just say thank you and welcome home.
Yeah, and get to some good interviews. Let me ask you a question. I just had a conversation yesterday
mm-hmm.
with a gentleman that is a veteran, and he was telling me that he is able, he has access to Vietnam veteran, or he has access to veteran compensation.
Mm-hmm.
He can get a check from the, but he chooses not to do it because he says, I'm not sick. I don't have any problems, and I don't want to take away from the Vietnam Veteran Association, when there's other people out there that get it. And my thought was, you know, you've earned it, you fought, and, you know, maybe this compensation could be used to help other people, or, you know, maybe for a rainy day in your own life, you know, you should receive it. Would you say, when it comes from a veteran's, you know, that type of, for the vets that are here, should every veteran have access to funds, whether or not they need them at the moment or not? What are your thoughts about that?
No, that's a great question, Vincent. You know, I'm blessed that the VA has taken care of me, and I'm service connected, disabled from Vietnam, but that they've taken care of me. And there's other veterans out there that they may not think that there's something wrong with them, but every vet that I know has a form of PTSD. I know they do. And I can point it out as quickly as that. When I'm with a group of vets and we go to a restaurant, it's like musical chairs. Nobody wants to sit not with their back to the door or their back to the windows. Everybody wants to sit the area where their back is to a wall and they can see everything that's coming in and see all the doors and windows. And that's just ingrained in us that, you know, we've got to be on the ready. We're always, and all veterans are like this, always on guard, always on guard. And that, after a while, years and years of doing that, has a toll. There's no relaxation. There's no downward where you can say, well, I can really trust and I don't have to be on guard all the time. Where do I go for that sanctuary? Where do I go for that rest? It's not physical, guys. It's mental. And that rest that you're looking for is in Jesus Christ. He's the one that's going to be the shield over you. He's the one that's going to finally give you that rest. And there's men out there that suffer from this and don't know it, and their whole lives have been turned upside down because of it. How many divorces have they had? They weren't able to get along with their kids. They've done some wild things, and believe me, I'm one, you know, as they say, I'm a recovering sinner, like all of us are. But I really think that, you know, if you can seek help out there, do it. See what the VA can do for you. You earned it. The country wants to pay you back. And it's not just money. It's care. It's maybe you have medicines that you can't afford. If you're a veteran and you are entitled to the VA benefits or for the VA to help you, especially the guys are now, all of us that were in the service at that time, once you turn 65, you can go to the VA and get some additional help. Seek that out. It's not a charity. It's something that you earned. See, we signed a check when we joined the military, when we raised our right hand. We signed a check, Pastor Vincent, and that is to give everything, including our life, to defend the Constitution. And you know what? When we made that solemn oath, there's no expiration date on that. And that's the way we all feel inside. There's no expiration date. We set an oath. We will keep that oath. But I can look every vet eye to eye and say, it's not a charity. You earned it. If you're wealthy and you don't need it, that's fine. But if you're struggling, or even if you're halfway there, use it. Use it. See what kind of help you can get. Once you're start that road, it's good. You're going to be around other vets. There's other programs out there that are there to help you. And I'm really excited to see what's happening with the veterans VA now. I'm excited to see that they're taking some of that deadwood out, and they're taking some of those people that were just government workers, as they say, that didn't care at all. They just wanted to get their paycheck, but they're actually replacing that with people that really do care.
Wow, what a blessing. So, okay, I've got that part. Let me ask you this, because I thought this was an interesting part of your comments that you were making about the veterans that are living at that high place of readiness and preparedness. And we happen to live in a generation where anything could happen at any moment, which would reinforce, you know, their desire, their need to be ready, because I happen to believe that the Vietnam veterans that were disrespected coming back, because they went to fight for, you know, this country, for the Constitution, and they returned and they suffered persecution for even being there, but, you know, what did they know going in for the most part? And yet I believe that this disenfranchised, this, you know, dishonored, this disgraced, you know, company of soldiers that are now walking among us, they will be the heroes in the days that we're living in as far as saving lives, taking care of people, because they are the most prepared and ready and knowledgeable people in warfare, where the majority of people in our country have no idea what to, whether I don't care if they have 50 guns, if they don't know how to use them, they don't know what it's like to have bullets flying at them, you know, it's not going to help them very much. They're probably going to hurt themselves and somebody else along the way. So, you know, how do you connect the dots here? Are you still believing that there is a war coming to our country? Are you still in the understanding, or do you believe that we've entered into a peacetime mentality from your perspective? Should the, you know, the people that not know be ready still, or should, is it time to lay everything down and just enter into that rest?
Unfortunately, we are at war now, and we are, there are ideologies that want to destroy our country from within, and there are people out there that have agendas that want to harm American people, and not just on a small level, but on a massive level. I think our duty as a Vietnam veteran, and talking about my brothers and sisters, our duty is not only to inform, but it also is to train, also to seek out our flock and say, hey, the sheepdogs, we're going to have to do a transformation. All you folks out there have been sheep, and it's fine. There's nothing wrong with being a sheep. But you need to understand that some of you are going to have to turn into sheepdogs and protect this flock. And even if you don't want to turn into a sheepdog, you're going to have to respect that sheepdog and support him, because he's there to protect you. As you know, Vincent, me and my other brothers, and Don Huddle and some of the other vets that you know, are still very committed to protecting this country, and we still keep up our skills, and we're willing to teach other people the skills that we have. And those that have never had that experience before, like we talked about earlier, that you mentioned, they need to at least try, and be able to defend themselves, being able to learn ways to protect, defend, to fortify their homes, to make sure that they have contingency plans, backup plans. I mean, this all sounds very very military, but no, it's not. Here in Florida, when people talk about contingency plans and talk about disaster preparedness, yeah, we live it here in Florida. We have a thing called hurricanes. And all my life, we've dealt with hurricanes, but we know, and we have certain procedures that we know what to do to prepare our homes and prepare for 4 or 5 days or maybe a week without food or water, and being able to keep these things in mind. Well, this transition, everybody should kind of start thinking a little bit different. But the most important thing, Vincent, they must start becoming aware of their surrounding, of what's going around with them. Suspicious things happen. Bad things can happen if nothing is done on those suspicions. We need to be kept aware. And that's another thing, too, what to look for. What things are suspicious, what things are out of the ordinary. Some people don't even realize it. I saw a funny thing happen the other day, and I have to, a lot of people, the sheeple, are walking around with their cell phones and not looking where they're driving or where they're walking. And I was going through the Publix parking lot a couple days ago, and I saw a lady walking with a cell phone, head down, walking right across the walkway there, you know, where the cars are going, and there was a guy in a car looking at his cell phone, and they were heading toward each other. Thank God somebody looked up.
right.
I wonder how that would be. Would he get a ticket for driving while texting? Would the other person get a ticket for walking while texting? I don't know. I would hate to have to be the cop to sort that out. I would say, if I was the cop, I'd say, look, give me your cell phones, both of you. Come get these in about a week.
Right. There you go. That's the right answer. You're no longer allowed to carry a cell phone. Like, you know, criminals can't carry guns.
That's right.
You don't get a cell phone. You know, that's a great law. That's the Pastor Ted Marshall cell phone law right there. And by the way, when it comes to shooting and training people, you know, a lot of people in our country, you know, they don't like the idea of, some of us do. And I remember when you and Don and some of the guys came down here to Arkansas and we had some training and shooting, you know, I was pretty amazed. I was 20 for 20. I mean,
yeah.
That target was at least 100 yards. 20 for 20. I fired 20 times and I missed the target every time. 20 out of 20, I missed that thing. And so,
well,
I know
your consistency
I
is there. That's one thing we can say. Your consistency is there. You know, one of the things about that time, too, we had a few people that had never even fired a weapon before that came up. And, of course, Don and myself,
like,
Don and myself both being instructors, you know, firearms instructors for years. I always knew I had a man and a woman that came up, and I told the man right off the bat, your wife will shoot better than you will. No. I said, she will. And I gave them both the breakdown and a little class of what we're going to do, and she outshot him. And he looked at me and he said, how did you know that? I says, 99% of the time, the women outshoot the men if they both of them have the same non-level of experience. And they said, why? I said, because men watch too much cowboy movies and other movies and think they're supposed to shoot this way, and they're too macho to, well, I don't have to do it the way, I'll do it the way that I've seen on TV. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Where the woman, she'll say, well, I'm going to listen to this guy. I'm going to do exactly what he's going to do. She follows the directions and she beats him, puts the holes right through the center. It's fun.
That's amazing. That's amazing. So we're going to have an army of ladies protecting us. That's really bad. We better get ourselves in shape. So,
no, they're there to make us go do what we're supposed to do.
Exactly. Provoke. It's called provoke them to repentance. So let me just get this one thing down straight.
Okay.
We've got men that fought in Vietnam and different wars that are here. They're dealing with that post-traumatic stress, right?
Yes.
And that's why they sit with their back against the wall. That's ingrained. And that's not in and of itself a bad thing.
No.
I never fought in the war, but I still kind of feel that way. I like the idea of seeing what's around me, and I like to have my back against the wall, so to speak, just so I could see the environment. I don't know where that came from. You know, maybe my father, who was a Marine, maybe he put some of that in me. But so the guys that are carrying this around, what you're saying is they'll always be alert, but they don't need to be stressed out. How do you break that apart?
They have to have a place where they can go and rest. It doesn't have to be a physical place where you lay down and take a nap, but it has to be a place in your heart, in your mind, where you can rest. And, Pastor, where's the better place to rest? To rest in the Word of Jesus Christ. Give it up.
Amen.
Guys, listen to it, relax, and all that tension will go away. All that, I know I'm speaking from experience here. I'm speaking from my heart. All that hurt, everything that's there is brushed away for the moments that you spend with Jesus Christ, because He enters with you. He holds you tight. He puts His arms and His hands around you and holds you, and you can rest. You're taken care of. You're loved and you're protected.
Okay, so what I'm hearing from a gospel perspective is that the gospel, and I used to say this, I say, you know, how do you rest when Jesus says, watch, be ready, be alert, beware? You know, the whole gospel is a message of, you know, total alertness, and yet, do not worry about your life. Be at peace. Enter into my rest. So there is a divine balance of being ready, alert, watchful, prepared, and yet, at the same time, inwardly, resting, being at peace, enjoying life as you go, right? And that's where we all need to find that balance.
That balance is only one where you can get that. And believe me, you know some of the other brothers, Vietnam vets that are strong men of God. And there's an inner peace that we have through Jesus Christ that other veterans see and they say, you know, I want some of that. My life has been too much of a stress turmoil. What do you have? And I just simply say, I have Christ, and I want you to have him too. I want you to be able to take that time in your life where you can go to him and rest. You know, in the military, we have what they call times when they send people for a rest period, consecutive time off, and it's a time where you can actually just go and relax and go do something that's not anything to do with war. And that's what this is. It's a way. It's a R&R, rest and recuperation.
Right. Pastor Ted, forgive me. We're down to our last 45 seconds in the broadcast. There are too many people in the body of Christ that love nothing but to rest, not worry, and be at peace, but they're not ready, prepared, and watchful, and sober. So we need to get this thing right. And I know in your broadcast, The Last Patrol, right here on the Omega Radio Network, that you're talking about these things all the time. People need to find you where you're at every morning at 6 a.m., The Last Patrol with Ted Marshall, 6 a.m. Central Standard Time, here on the Omega Radio Network. Pastor Ted, it was a joy talking with you once again. Let's do it again real soon. And in the interim, may God help you to raise all the funds. We're down to our last 8 seconds. We'll talk again. Go to Pastor Ted's program, 6 o'clock. Get the information where you could be a part of what he's doing in his ministry. And Lord willing, we'll talk more about it. Pastor Ted, shalom. God bless you, my friend.
God bless you, and God bless America.
Well, amen and amen. Shalom, everybody. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Vincent Xavier.
It was great for Pastor Vincent Xavier to have us on his program, and I hope you enjoyed the interview. Pastor Vincent is a good patriot, true good Christian patriot, who's really reached out to help out this ministry lots of ways, to help out the American Veterans Radio Ministries, VRM, Veterans Radio Ministries. I'd like to close with a song, and this is dedicated to some very, very special soldiers out there. I'm talking about the nurses that take care of our wounded soldiers. Back then, back in my day in Vietnam, and we called them angels. Brett Small has a song that talks about angels that fly too close to the ground, and that's who they are today. When a Vietnam veteran finds out that we have another Vietnam veteran there, and she happens to be a nurse, they're our angels. We care for them so much because they cared for us. And this special shout-out goes to Dr. Colonel Linda Pugsley, a Vietnam angel.
no greater healer than love. And no one loves you more than our Lord Jesus Christ. Hi, this is Pastor Ted Marshall. I hope you enjoyed the program. AVRM is American Veterans Radio Ministry. It's a ministry of Great Hope Christian Fellowship Church in Tampa, Florida. You can reach us at www.mygHCF. That's www.mygHCF.com. Or you can go to facebook.com/mygHCF. Thanks again for listening to The Last Patrol.
We were proud to call him brother. We were proud of what he'd done. Would it have been any different if America had won? Not too late to thank him or tell him that you miss him. You can tell him that you love him. Touch his name upon the wall. One of a million unsung heroes whose story forever goes untold. He left his soul in numb, but his spirit still lives on. He's walking with us on the last patrol. He's walking with us on the last patrol.